So that's just a reminder of our verse for the year, which is finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And so first I want to think a little bit about putting on the shoes of peace. So last weekend I went into town shopping with Esther and the girls, and for once it was a shopping trip that was for me and not for any of them. I don't get that opportunity very often as the only bloke in a house of all girls. But we went into town with the purpose of buying me some new boots, which you can see that I've got on. They're very nice, aren't they? Yeah. And so someone had given me some money for Christmas, and I wanted to get some boots. And I used to have some old boots that looked just like this, that were really comfortable, and I wanted the same ones again. You've probably had that experience yourself. And so twice I'd ordered these boots online, and I'd ordered them in my normal size, which is a size 10, and both times they arrived, and they were too big, and I had to send them back. So this time I thought I'd actually go into the shop. So arrived in the shoe shop, found the boots that I thought that I wanted, and an assistant came to help, and I asked for the boots in a size 10, because that is my normal size, and again, they didn't fit me. They were too big. She even did the thing that they do where they poke your toe just to see how far down it was going into the shoe, and she confirmed, yes, they are too big. And so I asked if she was sure that they were actually a size 10 or whether the boots just said they were a size 10, because I couldn't believe that I wasn't a size 10 in these boots. That's always been my size. In the end, I reluctantly tried on a pair of size 9 boots, and they fitted perfectly. I don't know why, but in this one type of shoe, it turns out that I'm a size smaller. As we think about the shoes of peace, I'd first like to think about putting them on. What does it mean to put on the shoes of peace? I think a bit like me in that shoe shop, thinking that I knew the size shoe that would fit me. I think we often think that we know what will bring us peace in life and what fits with our lives. But actually, God's a little bit like the person in the shoe shop who guides you to the right shoes that fit your feet. He knows better than we do. And actually, only God knows what can really bring us peace, not us. When I was at university, I wrote an essay on St. Augustine, and I found him to be a really interesting person. And some of you would have read the book, St. Augustine's Confessions. And in it, it explains how from the time he was born, life was like a restless search for satisfaction and for peace. And he searched for this peace in so many different places, in relationships with other people, in his studies, in different religions, in all sorts of places. But he found that nothing ever filled this restless void within him. And then towards the end of his confessions, and a bit later in his life, he writes to God the famous line that many of us will know, where he says, "My heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." And there's this sense that he realizes that the only true source of peace is God. That we only find true peace when we put on the shoes that God has given us. And so I'd like to highlight quite briefly three ways that we can daily put on the shoes of peace. The first is to daily surrender to the will of God. We can struggle to find peace in life at times because we're trying to control everything. We're trying to work everything out for ourselves. At the moment, you know that Esther and I are starting to figure out what a move to Bristol is going to look like and all the different things that need to fall into place to make that happen. We know that God has guided us to this point, but it's still very easy to worry about everything that needs to happen next and how we can make it all come together. But I'm trying my best at the moment, every day, to say actually it's God's will. The God, you have guided us to this point. You are in control, not me, and I trust you to make this happen. And all I can do is make the next human step that I can take. But it's really hard to actually do that every day. It's hard to let go and let God, because we think that we're safer when we're in control. But actually, all I can say is that on the days where I've managed to give all the hard decisions in my life to God and trust Him, that actually I've lived with much greater peace on those days. So point one, daily surrender to God's will. And number two, a daily recognition that God is for you. This is about knowing that not only is God in control, working out His will in your life, but that He actually has your best interests at heart as well. Last week we sang the song, The Blessing, and one bit of that song that I like is where it repeats the line, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He's for you. We might not feel peaceful in knowing God's will if we don't also know that God cares about us and wants the best for our lives. Sometimes we don't always know what is best. Sometimes we don't understand why we face difficult and hard times. But putting on the shoes of peace is about trusting in God's love for us, knowing that He's working all things for the good of those who love Him. So surrender daily to God's will and recognize that God is for you. And finally, to put on the shoes of peace. Be filled daily with the presence and the power of God. Our verse for this year is, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So we put on the shoes of peace as we live with God's presence and power in us by the Holy Spirit. This supernatural strength gives us the power to stand and face anything that might come our way. This power and strength can give us the confidence to face life with a really peaceful assurance that God is in control and giving us everything that we need. So we daily put on the shoes of peace by surrendering every day to the will of God, by recognizing every day that God is for you, and by receiving every day God's presence and power that give you everything you need for life. So let's just take a moment of quiet to reflect on that, to put on those shoes of peace. The passage from Ephesians 6 gives us this really clear and repeated instruction to stand firm in the armor of God. It says it three times, stand, stand, stand firm. This includes standing firm with our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. I know some of you here like to watch rugby. I'm looking at Sarah, big fan there. And one of the most complex and probably one of the most frustrating parts of rugby to actually watch is the scrum. They never seem to be able to quite get it right, and it often collapses. What was that? Oh, I heard something. So the scrum often doesn't work, and this is where two sets of players connect together and push each other. The ball's rolled in between them, and the aim is to push each other off the ball and gain control of it. I think that's generally the idea of a scrum. And often with scrums, you'll even see a little bit of turf coming up from the ground as both sets of players dig their feet in and try to harness the grip that can come from their boots. And you'll know that rugby boots are fitted with metal studs that dig into the ground and help the players to stand firm. Interestingly, this week I found out that the studs on the bottom of shoes aren't a modern invention for sport. It actually began with Roman armour, and that's what this passage, The Armour of God, is based upon. If you Google images of Roman soldiers' shoes, they were made with lots and lots of little metal studs sticking out of the bottom of them. A few weeks ago, I showed the way that an army would gather together in a shield wall to push back the enemy. Often you might get two of these armies pushing against each other. And the studs in the shoes of the Roman soldiers gave them the advantage they needed to be able to stand firm whilst pushing the enemy away. And eventually the enemy would slip because they didn't have the same firm grip in their shoes. The shoes of peace help us to stand firm in the peaceful knowledge of Christ's victory for us. The studs in the shoes are the promises of God given to us in the Bible that give us the traction to be able to stand. This is the good news of Jesus. We can have peace because we know that we are saved, because we know that we're forgiven, because we know that we're held and protected. We know that when God is for us, nothing can be against us. We can stand firm in peace knowing that God is in control, that he has everything in his hands. And when we stand firm, we can be sure that the enemy will eventually slip away. And so as well as putting on the shoes of peace, we can stand firm in the shoes of peace as well. And so I wanted to give us that to consider for a second. I'm only going to be brief on this last point, because we kind of covered it at the start when we were doing this painting. We've thought about putting on the shoes of peace and standing in the shoes of peace. But I want to think a bit about walking in the shoes of peace as well. And as I said, it links back to this path that we made at the start. And reading the passage from Ephesians, I think the main purpose of the shoes of peace is to stand firm against the enemy. And that is drummed home in the passage. But actually, I think there's an element of the shoes of peace being for walking as well. And we'll all leave here today and go to so many different places this week, to work and school, places where we volunteer, whether that's, I don't know, scouts or children's clubs or whatever else, to shops and leisure centres and social clubs and sports clubs. And between us all, I think we'll probably come into contact with hundreds of people in the next week. And we have the opportunity to make a mark on the lives of those people. And so what are we going to share with them? I don't know about you, I can identify people who I come into contact with each week and the mark that they make on my life as I come across them. There are some people who I might have a conversation with and actually I come away more tired and more restless afterwards. There are others who you come away from a conversation with and you feel encouraged and built up, more peaceful and joyful having spent time with them. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't interact with all kinds of people, we should. But what mark are you going to make on the lives of other people this week? Now, I'm not saying we should be jolly and positive all the time, but I'm encouraging us to think about those marks we make as we go about our lives and consider how we can be people who take the peace of Jesus to those we come into contact with. So again, let's take a moment of quiet to think about that. What are we going to share with those we meet this week?